Treva, thank you for letting me be here tonight, for allowing me to come. I'm probably different than anything you've ever seen, I guess. Let me just tell you, first off, these little things here are Altoids. I had a preacher in Michigan, I dropped one on the floor one time, and they called me the wild woman, and he said, you might need to tell people what those little white pills are, because they may think that's why you're a little wild. It's an Altoid, I promise. Amen. It's great to be here. I've been anticipating this night. We've been praying toward this night for a long time and believing God. We've been praying in this region for probably over 2 years now, probably 2.5 years, that we've been praying into this region and believing God is going to do great things in this region. Amen. The thing that the Lord told us, there were things that we began to pray and ways that God began to move us in the Spirit that were different for us. And so I began to ask God, what are we doing? God, what is this? You know, this is out here for me. I grew up in the Church of God. Just Pentecostal girl my whole life. And so there were some things that God was showing us. And he began to, how many knows if you begin to pray in the Spirit, God reveal things to you. Right? And he began to show us some stuff concerning this region. And one day I just said, God, what are we doing? I mean, this is out here. What are we doing? And this is what God said. You're preparing the way for the King to come. Amen. And he called us forerunners. So you who have been praying, God said, you're a forerunner. A forerunner, John, in the scripture represents change. So if you got a forerunner, that means there's change coming. And somebody has to go ahead and prepare the way for the change to come, right? And the change that's coming to this region, he said, the King is coming in. And so he's going to set up his kingdom here, his reign, his authority. You know what I mean by that? His authority in this region. And I believe there are great and mighty things about to transpire. Amen. And I want to be in the middle of it, don't you? Right. So the scripture that God gave me tonight to start this off, it's a familiar scripture probably to most of us in this room. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2. And we've probably all seen it and read it, but I'm just going to begin there. And I'm going to tell you tonight, it's going to be a little different for me, but I'm just going to flow with the Spirit. If you're uncomfortable with the Spirit, I hate it for you because I really depend on Him. And I may break out in Holy Ghost dance. I may break out in tongues. I may pray in the Spirit. If you're uncomfortable, just hold on. It's okay. All right. I'm not weird, but it may be for some of you, but I depend heavily on Him. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, and this is what he said. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Everybody say, wait for it. Wait for it. Because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Every promise, every vision that God gives, every prophetic promise is attached to two things. Number one, it's attached to an appointed time. And it is God who appoints the timing of the thing. It is also attached with a promise that God watches over His word to perform it. So when God speaks something, you can know of a surety that He will do what He said He will do. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what obstacles stand in the way of it. When the time comes, what God said He will do. Amen. And so I was thinking about that this morning or yesterday, and the Lord began to speak to me about a word that we have heard. If you've been in the church for any amount of time over the past 8 years, you have heard this word tossed around by the prophets, by the apostles that have been releasing this word, awakening. Anybody heard about awakening? For the past 8 years, God has been speaking about an awakening that is going to come, a move of God that is going to come into this nation, into this region, I declare that, and over this state, an awakening that is coming. But if you look around us, there's a lot of changes that have taken place in our nation, right? There's a lot of shifts that have taken place and a lot of changes. And if you look with the natural eye, you will tell yourself there is no way that awakening can come, right? Because it looks like our once godly nation has totally gone ungodly. And everything seems to be contrary to awakening. But again, God watches over His Word to perform it. And God will do it. And while it may look like the changes that have been happening in our nation are contrary and that it can't happen and that some are getting discouraged, what I see in the Spirit is what this is actually doing is it is driving the people of God back to God. See, the chaos, the pressure of the day that we are living in, it is causing the people of God to have a stirring on the inside of them. And what it's doing is stirring up a hunger for the real of God. Listen, I don't want the fluff and the show. I'm so tired of the fluff and show. I want the real of God. Amen. I want the power of God. I want the plan of God, right? And He has a plan and He has power and He will awaken this nation. But I believe awakening must begin in the people of God. And so while it looks chaotic in our nation right now, it is actually driving the true church to their knees. And I believe like Samson, we are shaking ourselves and we are realizing it is the Spirit that's missing. And without the Spirit, we are helpless and we are powerless to bring change. Amen. And so what it is doing, this realization, is pushing us back to humbling ourselves before God and to hear from Him and to desire what He desires and to want what He wants and to begin to cooperate with Holy Spirit to begin to move with God. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that would look around and say, awakening will not happen. Awakening cannot come. But I'm here to tell you tonight, awakening is already happening. It's happening in the prayer closets. It's happening with the prayers that God is waking up and bringing up. And He is shaking them and saying, get before Me, cry out to Me, and I will move. Amen. And listen, it is not unlike what you can go back in the history books and read about. When you read about the moves of God that came into our nation, the great awakenings that came in to the world and into this nation, there were two things that always provoked a move of God. It was pressure and it was prayer. And it was the pressure that provoked the prayer. And it was the prayer that opened the way for God to come and glory to move in. And I believe that that's what's happening in our day, is that people are being stirred. And over the past 8 years, I've seen them, I've talked to them, that people are beginning to get hungry for God. And while it looks like the world and even the church have moved far away from awakening, but yet there's a remnant that God has preserved for Himself that will cry out to Him, that will believe Him and call out to Him for what He says can happen. And it will open the door for God to move. Amen. And I believe that's where we are. I heard the Lord say this the other day in prayer. He said to me, the travail of the saints is giving way to the entrance of the glory. God has heard our cries. Amen. And while hovering over this nation and this region is the prophetic promise from God that we will have a move of God. Even though it looks impossible, God said, there's a people crying out to Me. And attached to that promise is an appointed time. And I believe that we are entering that time. Amen. And I tell you that prophetically. Years ago, the Lord revealed something to me. You know the scripture in Psalm where He said the entrance of Your word brings light, right? this was kind of one of those moments to me when God gave me a revelation. And it brought understanding to me about how God works in our lives. And what he talked to me about was this thing he called marked time and marked moments. And he began to reveal to me that these are places that he has put on our journey. Each one of us have these marked moments, these marked times. I believe regions have marked times and marked moments that God has put there. And they are significant to the plan of God being fulfilled. It's kind of like something that's connected to what already has been. But it's like a springboard that launches you into where God is taking you. It is a marked moment. And God reminded me of that yesterday. And he said to me, this meeting tonight is a marked moment. So what that says to me is man didn't do this. Man didn't set this up. It was not by accident that you guys met and you decided to have a meeting. That wasn't an accident. God has marked this time from the foundation of the world. It is significant for what God is about to do in this region. And when he spoke to me about this meeting tonight, he used the word opening. It's an opening, and it's obviously the opening of a door, not just to reveal, but also to give access to what's been waiting on the other side of the door. Hallelujah. But he also showed it to me like a gate of a dam on a river. And it's like the gates will stay shut until a certain time. But when the time comes, the right person will be sent to open the gate. And what comes through the gate is water that has been backed up and it's been preserved for this time. And it will be released. And that's what I saw when God said it is an opening. I saw in our region here in Paris on the western side of our region. It's like God is opening some ancient gates. Come on, somebody. How many knows God knows how to open an ancient gate? And it's like God is opening that gate. And what he has reserved for this time, woo, I feel the Spirit, is going to come rushing into our region and going to begin to flood with the glory of the living God. Amen. And while the prophetic destiny is hanging out here in the atmosphere and there's people saying it can't happen, God said in the glory it will happen. You can't make it happen. It's appointed for a time. But this is that time. And I believe we've entered into it. I knew this meeting was significant. There was just something registered in my spirit. And I knew this was a very significant time. And last Saturday, the Lord really, really began dealing with me to go away by myself and pray. And I don't do that for every meeting. Hardly any meeting. But I went away and I got a room and I began to pray and seek the Lord concerning this meeting tonight. And God began to speak to me some prophetic words and things that he was going to have me release here tonight. So this is kind of a different format for me. It's not going to be so much a structured sermon like we would normally give. But it's going to be more of releasing the words that God has given to me. And what I want you to do tonight, and I mean this is a night. You can choose to receive what God's doing or you can walk out of here and say that was a great meeting. Right? But God is saying to you tonight, I have ordained this meeting to talk to you. And what he's going to talk to you is going to be things that are going to prepare you for where he's about to take you. And so if we just need to say, God, open my ears to hear. Lord, open, you know, look at your neighbor and say, if you're nervous kind of a person and you don't, you know, you might want to move or tell me and I'll move. Or. But listen, I'm not going to let him get this close and miss him. Huh? I'm not going to let him get this close and miss what he's wanting to do. Amen. And if I got to shout, I may shout. If I got to cry, I may cry. Whatever I got to do, I mean to hear what God's going to say. Amen. One of the things that God said to me was that for some people in this meeting tonight, this is going to be more than just a meeting for you. He said this is going to be a life-changing encounter for you. Not because of me, not because of this pastor, not because of this place, but because it's a marked moment. Right? It's a marked moment. And you are literally going to leave this place forever changed. God said He is going to rekindle your passion for the glory. And here's what I saw. It's like, He said it's going to be like Jeremiah, like fire shut up in your bone. And here's what He said. And every day He's going to blow on the fire so it won't get low again. Wow. He said to me this meeting, and this was so unique, but He said this is the converging, for some of you in here, this is the converging of then and now. This is the place, God said, where you will look back and say that was where then ended and now began. Some of you who know me and you're familiar with some of the photography work I used to do, you may remember I made a plaque that said New Beginning. And the verse on that plaque said, today is the last day of then and the first day of now. That's going to be your motto when you leave out of here. That meeting was the last day of then and the first day of my now. That means you've turned a corner. Some things are going to change. Your perspective is going to change. God's going to give you new focus and you're going to move ahead with new perspective. Amen. He added to that and He said, for some of you, He has brought you to your place of there. Your place of there. This meeting marks the time when you will say, that's when I stopped moving toward and I moved in. And that changes everything. When you stop moving towards something and you move into it, that changes everything. It changes how you pray. It changes how you connect with other people. It changes how you think. Come on. It changes your whole outlook when you move in to the place. See, it's kind of like you remember when the children of Israel and God had pulled Joshua up and Joshua announced to the children of Israel and told them, get ready because in 3 days we're going to go over this river and possess the land. How many remember that story? When Joshua released those words, it was a prophetic declaration to those people of what was coming ahead of them. In 3 days we're going over to there. So those 3 days became a process for them to get ready for there, right? And so for 3 days, I don't know what they're doing, packing tents, getting their kids together, getting their animals together. For 3 days, they're in the process of moving toward the promise. But on the third day, when they crossed the river and their foot touched the ground on the other side, they were no longer moving toward, but they were there. It wasn't time then to get ready. They were already supposed to be ready. Listen, if you got to get ready, you're not ready. You got to get prepared in the process. That's the purpose of the process, is to prepare you for where you're going. There is a difference between there and the process. See, what the process does, in the process you are approaching. But in the there, you're there. In the process, you're becoming. But when you're there, you got to be what you became in the process. See, years ago, the Lord gave me an assignment when I was in my early 20s. That was just last year. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't. It's been a long time ago. But in my early 20s, the Lord gave me an assignment. And it was a scary assignment for a young lady. God spoke to me and told me to move to Central America to be a missionary there and teach in a school. I went before the authority people that I had at that time that I was accountable to in my life, and I told them what the Lord had shown me. hoping they would talk me out of it, but they agreed. Yes, that's God. And so when I knew that God had spoken to me to move to Central America, the moment I made up my mind to obey God, I started a process. It was a process to get me ready for where I was going. Now listen to me very carefully. That assignment was in front of me. It was real. The word of God on it was real. But I wasn't ready for it yet. Huh? I wasn't ready. I had to get ready for where I was going. It was a process to prepare me. When I was at home, I was preparing to be on the mission field. When I stepped off that airplane, I was on the mission field. Right? When I was at home, I was packing my bags. I was getting supplies. I was praying. I was doing a lot of praying. I was fasting. I was meeting with the mission board that I was going to be working under. I was doing all these things. I was getting shots. I was preparing for where I was going. It was the process that was getting me ready, right? And when I got off the airplane, I started being what I had become in the process. It wasn't time to pack. It was time to unpack and go to work and be. Right? And here's what I'm hearing the Lord say to some of you in this room tonight. You're about to step off the airplane. And what you've been becoming in the process, you will now be in the place. That's a word of God for somebody. If you can receive that tonight. And here's the thing. So many people, they start out on this journey and they get a vision from God, and it is a real vision. From God. It is true. It is out there in the future. But what we have done is we have made the process, we have mistaken that the process is about God preparing the place for us. It's giving God time to get the place prepared for us. But the process is not so much about God preparing the place, it's more about you being prepared for the place. God is working on you, and some of you have been going through the process, and God's been adding to you, and He's been taking things away from you, and He's been talking to you and telling you stuff, and it's been a long, hard road for some of you. And you have thought, God, will this ever end? Listen, the vision is for an appointed time. But in its time, it will speak. And while you may be weary with the process, I can promise you when you get to there, you're going to have a newfound appreciation for the process. When you get there, you're going to thank God for the process that you just went through. Amen. Because it is in the process that you have been made ready for where you're going. Now listen, I know it's been hard, but the vision will speak in its time. Is that what He said? In its time, it will surely speak. And for some of you in this room, another thing I heard the Lord say is the vision is ready to speak. You've reached your there. Faith is giving way to sight. And from now on, you will not be working toward the place, but you will now be working from the place. And it is very different to be working from the place. Yes, you're going to have battles. Yes, you're going to face some giants in the place. Yes, there's still work to be done. But it's not a battle now to get the land, but now it's more about occupying what you've already possessed. You see the difference? It changes everything, right? It's purely a spirit-led life from this point forward. And listen, you didn't just happen upon this moment. I'm not telling you that just because you came to this meeting tonight, you're crossing over. No, I'm telling some people in this room that have been going through the process, God is giving you an assurance tonight that you have been through the process and now you're ready to occupy what you've been prepared for. And it's going to be different for you. And listen to me, the devil doesn't care about us coming in here and flexing our own abilities. He doesn't mind us living by our own understanding, not one bit. But he and all of hell trembles when there is a people that begins to graduate from their then to their now. You know why? Because he knows the power shift that takes place in that moment. When people come out of the process prepared to walk in there, he trembles because he understands now it's no longer a people striving to become, but now it's that people of the not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, spirit filled, spirit empowered imitators of God company. That emerges out of the process, and he fears that company because the enemy knows that it is through this company of people that Jesus is going to build his church, and the gates of hell cannot and will not be able to prevail against it. Amen. The Lord said years of shifting are now releasing an army of equipped, experienced, relentless warriors. I'm going to read that again. Years of shifting are now releasing an army of equipped, experienced, relentless warriors. Some of us came into this meeting tonight, and to be real honest, we probably do not feel like that company of people I just described to you. Because we've been through the process, right? So we've been fighting giants. We've been killing bears. We've been killing lions, right? We've taken the lashes of criticism and misunderstanding and being mislabeled. So we more picture ourselves as being battle scarred, blood, sweat, and tears running down our face. We don't feel like a warrior, right? But God sees a warrior. I'm telling you, God has always seen the warrior. Wow. God has always seen the warrior. You may not have felt like a warrior, but God has always seen the warrior. God knows. And listen to me, your time of advancement has now come. Oh, I hope you're hearing me by the Spirit. And it's not because you're all that. We're not all that. Right? It's not because we're all that, but it's because we've gone through the process. And in the process, we have learned how to depend on God. We've learned how to pray by the Spirit. We have learned how to hear the Word of God and war with the Word. Right? We have learned to believe what God said and stand on it and not be moved from it. So now we're not just a people that know about God, but we are a people that know God because we got experience with God. Amen. And that's big right there. Now you're not walking by your own ability. Now you're not walking by your own might and your own power. Now you have learned to be totally dependent upon God. And here's the beautiful thing. Now you know you can trust God because of the process. But here's an even greater thing. Because you've been through the process, now God knows he can depend on you. And that makes you powerful against your enemy. Because you know God by experience. That's a powerful thing. Amen? And it is even more powerful when you consider the fact that our once godly nation now not only says that we don't need God, now they're saying we don't even want God. But here is a promise that God said awakening is going to come. So God's word is in the balance. Huh? How is God going to bring a move of the Spirit of God in a nation that doesn't even want God? In a nation that throws their nose up against God? How will God do it? He will do it through this company of people that know him, that trust him, that will obey him. He says go and they go. We don't need an explanation. He just said do it, we do it. He said pray, we pray. We don't need to even know how to pray. Even if it's groanings, Paul said, the Holy Ghost knows how to make prayer out of your groanings and your sighing. Listen, it's this people. It is crunch time. And this is a different moment that we're in. It is a critical moment that we're in. And God, I believe right now, is calling up his reserves. There is a company of people that it looks like nothing is moving, nothing is happening, but God has got some grandmas in the prayer closet that are more powerful than many preachers in the pulpit, because they have been listening to God and they've been talking to God and they've been hearing from God. God has a company of people that have been put on the shelf by the church world, but I'm telling you, God is calling up His reserves. Because it's a powerful moment that we're in. Amen. God said to me, He is about to position His called out ones. I love that. And I'm not talking about elitists where you're better than anybody else. No. There is none of us better than any other. I don't care who we are. I don't care if you got a TV show. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the janitor in the back. We are all the same. Jesus said the same power, the same Holy Ghost that was in Him is the same Holy Ghost He has given to every one of us in this room. And that will allow Him to work, right? So it's not about being better than, but these people have experienced God. And they trust God and God trusts them. And so He's pulling up these reserves. Now, let me tell you something that, and I debated whether I was going to tell you this tonight, but I'm going to. Something that may shock you about me. Some of you may not know this about me, but I really like football. I'm a big football fan. And my favorite team is the Indianapolis Colts. And they lost, and I know. You don't have to tell me, I know. But my favorite quarterback is Peyton Manning. I followed his career ever since he was in the University of Tennessee, many years. And I really like Peyton Manning. As a matter of fact, he's the reason why I like the Indianapolis Colts. And he left and I hated it, but I still like the Colts. But when the Colts lost the playoffs, of course I'm going to root for Peyton Manning and the Broncos, right? And so I start watching the game that is going to decide a lot of things about the playoffs. It's going to decide home field advantage and some very key things. Nobody thinks that the Broncos can win, right? And they're not to begin with. And they go into this game, and Peyton is actually the greatest quarterback of all time. He is on the sideline because of injuries, right? And he hasn't played for a while, a long while. But he's still on the team, but he's on the sideline. Great quarterback. But they've got this young buck that's playing, you know, and he's got talent and he's got skill. But this is a different kind of a ball game. I mean, this is a big deal ball game that they are playing. And for the first two quarters, they're losing. But at halftime, the coach does something that nobody was expecting. He calls up Peyton Manning off the sideline and he said, "Do you think that you can play?" He hasn't even been playing. He hasn't even been practicing. And he says, "I think I can do it." And he goes out and he leads the team to victory. The next game they play is against the New England Patriots. Nobody thinks they can win. Everybody except the fans think that they cannot beat this team who is the reigning champions from last year's Super Bowl. That's debatable, but anyway, they say they're the winning champions. And so here they come out on the field, and Peyton Manning leads his team to a victory. And here's what the announcer says, and I love this. "To think, 2 weeks ago, this guy was sitting on the sideline, and now they have brought him out, and he has led his team to the Super Bowl." Now, I don't know how Sunday's going to pan out. I hope it pans out well. But let me tell you what God spoke to me through a football game. He really did. And this is what God showed me. There are some of you, you're still on the team, but you've been sitting on the sideline. You have done some great things in your time. You have seen God move. You have experienced God move. But some people would say, your time is done. You might as well retire. You're still on the team. You can still cheer. But all of a sudden, the coach is about to put you back on the field. You know why? Because this is what the coach said to Peyton Manning when he asked him, "Can you play?" He said, "I need your experience." This is a different moment that we're in. And God needs this experienced company of believers that I'm talking to you about tonight. You may not feel like a whole lot. You may not feel all that powerful. But God sees what's on the inside of you. He knows what's in you. And He knows that you know Him. And He knows that you depend on Him. And He's calling up the reserves that has experience with Him. Because experience is necessary. Let me tell you, experience will cause you to take risks that nobody else will take. Experience will cause you to stand in faith when everybody else is backing down in fear. Right? Experience will cause you to touch the edge of a swollen Jordan River and turn around and tell the people who are following you, it's all right. Don't look at the river. Don't even focus on the obstacle. You just remember God said we're going over, and some way God will make a way. That's what experience will do. I don't know how, but I know He will. Huh? That's what God's looking for. Because we're living in a day where there's so much pressure to compromise. There's so much pressure being put on people. Why don't you just settle down? Why don't you just be normal? I don't want to be normal. Come on, Jesus wasn't normal. The apostles weren't normal. The Bible said they turned the world upside down. Come on, God's looking for a people that will get radical with Him and say, "God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. And I trust you, God, that when I get there, you're going to accomplish what you sent me out for." God's looking for some experienced people that will stand up in faith, and as they stand, God can move. See, you're the access that God works through. Do you know that? God works through people. People say, "Oh, God can do whatever He wants to do." God works through people. Is that right? He's always worked through people. And God has given us the ability to tell Him no. He's given us the ability to tell Him yes. Right? And so the coach is saying, "I need your experience. I need you to get on the field." And I'm telling you, there's some of you that God's fixing to put you back on the field. That's a good East Tennessee term right there, fixing to. God's about to put you on the field. I let it slip. Slipped right out of there. But God is about to put you on the field because He needs your experience. Because He needs your passion. Because He needs your hunger for Him. Because when He finds that, God can work through that. Amen? Now, listen, I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm just going to throw some things out here that God has given me prophetically to share with you. And I know all of this has pretty much been prophetic, but this is like serious stuff right here. For weeks, God was talking to me about Elijah. How many have read about Elijah in the Bible? God started talking to me about Elijah, and I knew there was something in there that God was going to have me prophesy in this meeting. And so I started reading about Elijah, a powerful man of God. I mean, he comes out prophesying to a king and telling him a drought's coming and it's all your fault because you're a sinner. And, you know, I mean, he's bold, and he comes out and he calls, sets the heavens to no rain. And then he says it's going to rain, and rain comes. And he goes up in the mountain, calls fire down out of heaven. Awesome man, right? And so then he leaves that place of calling fire down out of heaven. And all the prophets are destroyed of Baal. And the people's hearts are turned back to God. And he goes down into a place, and Jezebel sends him a message And the message was, what you've done to the prophets, this is the same thing going to be done to you. And so he goes into a place that some think is a place of despair. I think it was a place of transition for Elijah. And it's out of this that I'm going to prophesy to you tonight. But God takes Elijah down to this place. And I know this don't mean this in the scripture, and I'm not saying that. But there's a word there that God said, the word says he took him to Beersheba. Beersheba means the place of oath. It's the place of promise. I love it when we get in a transition that God will always remind us of the promise. When we're about to go through the transition, God will say, remember what I said. Remember what I told you. Amen. And he brings him down to Beersheba, and then he goes into a wilderness. And in the wilderness, he falls asleep, and he begins to tell God, let me die. Right? I've done everything I know to do. There's nothing left for me to do, God. Everything's over. I called fire down. Let me die. Nothing else. Nothing left for me. And he goes to sleep, and while he's asleep, an angel comes and makes food for him. How cool is that? An angel comes, taps him on the shoulder, and says, get up and eat. I've cooked you a meal. Wouldn't you love to eat that meal? And it was so powerful that the Bible said he went in the strength of that meal for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days, 40 nights. He went in the strength of that. And he was led from there up to the mountain of God. And while he's in the mountain, God begins to speak to Elijah. And he begins to hear God in a whole different dimension than he's ever heard him before. And God begins to confront him. And he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What's going on? What's happening here? God, they don't want me. Nobody's listening to me. They've killed all the prophets. Now they're trying to kill me. Just let me die. He's in a major point of transition. Now listen to me. It is here that his whole assignment is about to change. He's no longer Elijah calling fire down out of heaven. But now God is putting on him a mantle of the apostle. And now he is going to be a father. That fathering anointing. And God says, I want you to go appoint and anoint. And one of the ones he is going to anoint is Elisha, that younger generation that is going to come up behind him. Let me tell you something about these kids coming up behind us. They need more than us telling them about God. They need us showing them God. Now I'm going to tell you the difference in my generation was the people didn't just talk about God. We saw God. Come on. They didn't tuck us away in a youth room somewhere. We set out and we watched the bobby pins fly. We watched God heal. We watched devils get cast out. And I mean, they set us out there to see it. Come on, somebody. Our kids, we don't need to be afraid to let our kids see God. You better be showing them God. Now, that wasn't in my notes, but that's a good word right there. Right? Because we got founded on a foundation. And I love that. And a lot of people call me old school. But I'd rather be old school than a lot of stuff I see today. Because in the old school, one thing they sure enough did was taught us the fear of God. We had honor for God. We respected God. Come on, somebody. And we heard from God. And we saw God do supernatural things that are with me even to this day that I've never forgotten. They have made me who I am today. Amen. They taught me to trust God. Amen. That's not my notes either, but God wants it. So he's going to raise up a generation behind him. And so God needs somebody that has experience that can teach this one coming behind him how to take his place once he's gone. Amen. So his journey is being shifted. And here's what I heard the Lord saying out of this to you tonight. God is saying that for the next 40 days... Now, I'm not one that usually puts time frames on things, but I heard the Lord saying this. That the encounter that you receive in this place tonight, it is going to strengthen you for the next 40 days, God said. And for the next 40 days, God is going to begin to launch you out with a fervency that you thought you had lost. You are going to find yourself encountering God on a whole new level and hearing God in a whole new dimension. Tonight, you are being strengthened for the next 40 days. And then you will hear clearer than you've ever heard. Your next assignment will be revealed to you, and you will walk in transferable power that will not only affect you, but it will affect those that God has called to walk behind you. Now, listen, this is very important right here. Hear me. Oh, I heard the word of God on this so powerfully. Some of you have stood and you have worked with God over the past season. But now, like Elijah, you're tired. Now listen, this is so important. I heard this. Some of you are even suffering from very real physical issues that have plagued you for years. I don't know, it could be more, but I believe there are at least 5 people in here that this word right here is for. God said, you have suffered from very real physical issues that have plagued you for years, but you have kept on pressing. You have kept on moving with God. And tonight, you see and you believe that your way is opening. He said, you know the sea is parting and you know that you are going over. But hear what he said. But like Israel of old, it seems the enemies of your last season are following you into your miraculous opening. And you have said to God, God, I'll follow you anywhere. God, I'll move with you. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But God, I do not want to enter my now plagued with the issues of my then. Now, I don't know who you are, but here is God's response to you. God says to you, what is an opening for you is a closing for your enemy. I tell you, keep your eyes ahead and consider not the enemy. For as I did for Israel, so I will do for you. That enemy will be swallowed up in the waves as they close in behind you. And you will turn around and see them lying dead on the seashore. And there will remain not one of them. Now, that's a word for some of you in here. What is an opening for you is a closing for your enemy. I want to tell you a quick testimony. Am I okay with time? Let me tell you a quick testimony. Back in November, we were in a meeting. Bonnie and Crystal were in this meeting. There were probably about 4,000 or 5,000 people there that night. Kenneth Copeland was going to be speaking in this meeting that night. When Kenneth got up on the stage, he showed a picture on the overhead. When he first got up, and he began to tell a story about a pastor in Africa, in South Africa. This church in South Africa, over the course of, I think he said, 2 years, had just experienced exponential growth. The power of God had come into that place. And I'm not talking about no little bitty thing. I'm talking about they had like 6 services on Sunday with 50,000 people in each service. It just move of God came. And one of the pastors of that church, he had been working so hard. And the Lord came to him and said to him, I'm going to do something special for you. And so this pastor, several years before, I forget what happened, but he had had some kind of an accident and his elbow had been completely destroyed. And they had taken out his elbow from here to here and completely taken it out and put in an artificial elbow into his arm. And the picture that Kenneth showed was a picture of that artificial elbow. It was part metal and it was part synthetic bone. It was a weird looking thing. And they had implanted that, surgically put that in to his arm. But for years, he had experienced excruciating pain in that elbow. And so God comes to him and says, I'm going to do something special for you because you've served me selflessly. And so the next morning, he wakes up and that elbow is laying on the bed beside of him. Serious. And the picture that Kenneth showed was the actual elbow. And he had a brand new elbow. And they know it wasn't a fake because it had the serial number on it. And there were records showing that that was the exact elbow. Wouldn't that freak you out? I was in shock when Kenneth said it. I mean, I looked at Crystal like, did I hear him say what he just said? Was that for real? I mean, that's awesome. Right? I mean, you wake up and there's an elbow, and first thing I would think was, well, can I move my arm, you know? Whole. 6 months before that meeting, I was with my mom and dad and my great niece in the Smoky Mountains, and we were on a picnic, and it had rained, and I stepped on a board, and I had fallen. And I fell on my arm and hyperextended my elbow and had seriously damaged my elbow. And for 6 months, I couldn't straighten it out. I walked around like this in excruciating pain. And I had felt for a couple of months like a piercing something trying to poke through my skin. And I guess I had broken bone and it was trying to work its way out. And I didn't go to the doctor. I trusted God. I was believing God. But I did not go into that meeting that night thinking, I'm going to get my elbow healed tonight. I did not go in there even nowhere near expecting what Kenneth showed on the screen that night. But before Kenneth started preaching, even after he told the story, I wasn't even thinking about that elbow, nothing about it. And Kenneth starts to read his scripture, and all of a sudden he says, yes, sir, I will. And he raises up and he said, somebody in this room, God's just healed your elbow. And out of 5,000 people, you would think somebody would have raised their hand, but nobody did. And all of a sudden, I thought, what if he's talking about me? You know, I couldn't even bend my elbow. And so I was not raising my hand. I was just stretching my arm to see if it worked. And Kenneth said, there you are. And I said, okay. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, my elbow went. And I have never had one pain in my elbow since that time. Completely, completely healed. Now, I'm telling you that testimony because what that is doing is it is releasing an atmosphere in here of faith. And there's some of you that came in here carrying some sickness and some stuff in your body. And there is an atmosphere of healing that is right here. I feel it right now. And God is saying he's going to turn some stuff for you. Some stuff you've been carrying around and you weren't even expecting that God was going to heal you. And all of a sudden, what was there won't be there. God's going to reverse some stuff for you. Amen. I'm telling you, God's going to turn it around. There's another thing that I'm seeing right now. It's like a tourniquet on somebody's head. And it's like a vice that the enemy has just been tightening and pressure. And it's even affecting you spiritually. That you haven't been able to hear God clearly. But I hear the Lord saying he's moving that thing off your head tonight. Even some physical stuff there, migraines and things like that. And God said he's breaking that hold, that pressure off of you tonight. And you're going to hear God clearer than you've ever heard him. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray right now. Come on, there's something going on in the spirit here right now. If you pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. If you don't, that's okay. Just pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this people here tonight. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this region. For what you're releasing in here tonight. God is going to begin to flow through this region. You are opening something here tonight. You are opening something here tonight. Holy God. Shobreke shikotrota. Shivrika morgoshke de rabahoko toya. Brishka tata mahoko cheke. Hallelujah. I believe tonight that we're going to leave here with a renewed assurance that what God has said, He's going to do it. What you have hungered for, God's going to do it. Now, don't keep praying toward it. You pray from it. We're in it. Come on, we're in it. We got to change how we think. Come on. From this night forward, we got to change how we think. We got to change how we're thinking, how we're praying. God, you have done it. God, we're in the place. Show us the next move, God. Show us how to walk this thing out, Lord. Give us people to walk with, God. Connect the dots, God. Put the right people together. I believe that what's going to happen over the course of this year, God used this word with me, amassing. I saw an amassing. And amassing is not just like gatherings in like where we throw everybody together and whoever together, but it's more like an Ezekiel's dry bones experience. Bones coming together. It's more of an assembly. God's going to start connecting people. And over the course of this next year, I believe that we're going to see this region transformed by the glory of God. Amen. So God, I'm asking you tonight to give favor. I'm asking you to give favor for people, that you will open up ways, that you will begin to make those connections, God. I pray, Lord, that you will give strategy to your people tonight. I pray, Lord, over this people in this house tonight. If you are those people, especially the word with Elijah in the next 40 days, if you believe that you, I'm going to ask you to be really bold tonight, and I want you to stand up. Don't stand up if you don't think it's you, but if you think it's you, I want you to stand up. Raise your hands. Father, over these people, I pray that for the next 40 days, God, that you'll talk to them, that you will reveal yourself to them. I pray, God, that you'll give them dreams, that you'll give them visions. I pray, God, that you will strike up conversations with people, with them and around them. God, that will begin to release revelation to them. God, that will begin to release strategy to them. I pray that their minds, God, will be touched by your Spirit in a way and on a level that they've never encountered before. I pray they'll open the Word of God and they'll begin to see revelation that they've never seen before. I pray you'll quicken their hearts over these next 40 days. And God, that you'll begin to fill them, Lord, with wisdom and insight and peace over their minds, over their homes, God, and begin to turn things for them, to set them, God, in this new place with their feet running. I pray, God, that you will give them finances that they need to do what they need to do. I pray, God, that you give them wisdom and understanding, God, to do what they need to do. I pray you'll heal their bodies, that you'll touch their minds. God, that you'll give them peace and that you'll give them understanding that they've never had before. I pray you protect them over these next 40 days. God, put that shield about them that the enemy touches them not, in Jesus' name. That you would give them time to get away and to seek you and hear from you. Open their ears to hear. And God, let them even be amazed themselves at what you do in them over these next 40 days. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. For it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I just speak the blessing of the Lord over the rest of us tonight. And I believe, I honestly believe, that we are going to leave this place and we're going to see change come. Amen. We've been praying for this for a long time. And how many will agree with me in here tonight that the King is coming? Amen. The King is coming. Not for the church, not yet. But he's coming to the church in this region to do a great work and to bring the awakening that he has promised. Amen. And I believe that it's not just going to touch this region, but it's going to touch beyond. There are people praying over this meeting tonight that have never even been in this region at all. There's a pastor's wife in Missouri. They just came out of a great revival in Missouri. And she contacted me through Facebook. She saw the flyer for this meeting. And she said, there's something about that meeting. She's never been here. She don't know anything about this place. But she said, we're praying over this meeting. Listen, God is doing something supernatural in this. I wish I could tell you everything that God's been showing us, but I can tell you by the Spirit, I know this is supernatural what God's doing here tonight. And I'm so thankful for every one of you that came. And I believe God's going to honor you for coming here tonight. Amen. And I believe the word that you received, it is going to touch you. And you're going to remember it. Not because I preached it, but because God's talking to you. It's a marked moment. Amen. Can you receive that? Amen. Thank you for letting me come. Praise God.